In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is so good to be back here at Our Savior. Only this time I'm not here to talk about paying down debt. I was so happy to be invited into the congregation to help with the capital campaign a few years ago. But now, instead of talking about paying down debt, I'm going to talk about paying it forward. Paying it forward all the way to Africa. A couple of years ago, I started working part-time for a group called Lutherans in Africa. I travel around the country and do exactly what I'm doing here, talk about the great work that Lutherans in Africa is doing for the gospel of Jesus in the entire continent of Africa. We have various support regions around the world, and particularly around the U.S., I'm happy to announce that today I'm kicking off a week in Wyoming and northern Colorado, in hoping to establish one of those little support regions here in this area. And I'm hoping that our Savior will sort of be the hub for that. I was just talking with Pastor earlier. The hope is to have our director, our primary missionary, Reverend James May, come here in the next year and share directly with you the work that we do. Very happy to be here. Now, I'm a little concerned about the next part of the introduction, the last part of my introduction, because this is the point at which I boast that I don't come and preach a canned mission sermon on a canned text. Instead, I preach whatever the text is of the day. And we mostly go around to churches like yours that are confessional and conservative and are devoted to the texts of the day. So I wrote a sermon on the text for the day. The only problem is I got the wrong gospel reading. I was talking with Pastor Shear a few weeks ago, and he told me you guys are on the one-year series, and so I looked it up, and instead of Luke 15, I wrote a sermon on Luke chapter 5. So, there goes my boasting. At least the sermon hymn that we just sang fits perfectly with the text I wrote the sermon on. Because the text I wrote the sermon on is the calling of the first disciples. And in that story, which we'll come to in a moment, Peter falls on his knees and says, "Lord, go away from me, for I am a sinner." So I was very happy that we sang, "Jesus sinners doth receive." And by the way, if I had actually read the numbers right and preached on Luke 15, that's another great missions text. Go and seek the one lost sheep. But instead, we have a gospel reading that fits very well with what Lutherans in Africa does. Lutherans in Africa does not do, we don't plant churches. We don't do a lot of mercy work. Matter of fact, we do hardly any mercy work. We are simply devoted to teaching the pastors and the lay pastors, I'll talk about that in a moment, in Africa, because they have not been taught very well. Well, we'll come back to that in a moment. So in Luke chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, as I mentioned, Peter falls on his knees. And then Jesus says, "I will make you fishers of men." He called the first disciples, who would then become the first apostles. And that is exactly what we do in for Lutherans in Africa. As a matter of fact, it's the only thing we do, is teach the word. And that'll make more sense a little bit later. So in the other gospel reading for today, the alternate gospel, we have Peter, James, and John fishing on the Sea of Galilee. and they weren't catching anything. And then Jesus comes along, and he says, hey, I want to get in your boat, and I want to teach. Because by this point, there were crowds following Jesus. So there's this crowd of people on the Sea of Galilee, right there on the shore. Jesus says, push the boat out a little ways. And he had this natural amphitheater. And so he starts teaching the word. And then he says to the disciples, hey, what did you catch? Oh, we fished all night long, didn't catch anything. He says, cast your net over there. And then they had this miraculous draft of fishes. The nets were overflowing. And that's when Peter realized, because this is early on in Jesus' ministry, that's when Peter realized he wasn't just standing in the presence of some prophet who wandered from town to town, born of Joseph and Mary. Instead, he realized he was standing in front of the presence of God. And so Jesus says to, he falls on his knees and says, go away, I'm a sinful man. And then Jesus says, interestingly enough, well, stand up, because I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And as I mentioned, that's exactly what we do with Lutherans in Africa. So this is greatly needed in Africa. Believe it or not, there isn't a great need to plant churches in Africa. I mean, it's still going on, just like we plant churches here in America. But there are 30 million Lutherans in Africa. There are 8 million Lutherans in the country of Ethiopia. So you can throw all of the liberal and conservative Lutherans together in all of North America, and there are more Lutherans in one country in Africa, Ethiopia, than in all of North America. Not just Missouri Synod, but all Lutheran denominations. So Africa is teeming with Lutherans. The problem is, they are what I like to call linos. Some of you, I'm sure, have heard of rhinos, Republicans in name only. Well, these Lutherans in Africa are linos. They are Lutheran in name only. Now, they have a shortage of pastors. The average church member sees a pastor once every 4 to 6 weeks. Each pastor has to serve 10 to 20 congregations because they have a shortage of pastors. And those pastors that they have, thankfully, they went through a regular 4-year curriculum just like our pastors do. But here's the catch with that. So who evangelized Africa? Africa was evangelized around the same time that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod was formed, the middle of the 19th century. The Missouri Synod was founded in 1848. And that's right when Africa was being evangelized, mostly by the Europeans. Why was the LCMS formed? Because confessional Lutherans, C.F.W. Walther and his peers, left Europe, Germany specifically, Saxony even more particularly, because they were being persecuted for preaching the truth of the Bible. Those are the same people that persecuted the preaching of the truth of the Bible that founded Christianity in Africa. Today you go to Western Europe and the cathedrals are empty because they gave up on the truth of Scripture about 100 years ago. Those are the people that were training the pastors in Africa, the Lutherans. And so they got a mixed bag. In the primary seminary in Kenya, there is one conservative confessional professor. He stands alone. And so these pastors have been taught everything but the pure gospel and the truth of Holy Scripture. Now, to make the challenge even greater, when the pastor is not there for 6 weeks, there is what they call an evangelist. They took that title out of Scripture. At least they've got an office for it, okay? At least they have an office. We struggle with that here when we have laymen preaching. At least they put them into an order, and they call it evangelist. Now, who are these evangelists? In every tiny little gathering of Lutherans, there might be one person who owns a Bible. And the pastor says, "You have a Bible, right?" "Yes." "Well, now you're the pastor when I'm not here." And that is the extent of their training. And they are preaching and doing the liturgy every Sunday. Now, they have respect for the sacraments. They do not baptize and they do not have the Lord's Supper. Now, that also means they're only getting the Lord's Supper every 4 to 6 weeks. So there is this incredible lack of instruction in Africa. Our director started out with a group that some of you are acquainted with, Lutheran Heritage. They publish confessional materials all around the world, including Africa. But they can't teach them. They can only, because they are a registered service organization of the Synod, they can only hand those materials out. They're not supposed to teach them. Only the pastors and the LCMS missionaries are to teach in Africa, according to our own church policies, which is not a bad policy, but it hinders the work of LHF. So our director, James May, started teaching anyway, because he could not help but teach. Because all of these Lutheran pastors and these evangelists, these lay pastors, so to speak, were saying, "What does this mean? Thank you for these wonderful books. Can you teach them to us?" And that tugged on Reverend May's heart. And so he said, "Yes, of course I will teach you." And so he started conducting seminars around the continent. And then that led to his pastor in Parma, Ohio, and him forming 10 years ago what we now call Lutherans in Africa. We are our own separate group, and this is why I'm here, asking for your support. And since then, we have grown by leaps and bounds. We are actually building a seminary, and I encourage you to come to the Bible class hour, because I'm going to show lots of slides, not only of pictures of seminary buildings, but pictures of zebras and giraffes and lions as well. So now we're building a seminary. God has richly blessed us. And 2.5 years ago, the Lutherans in Africa took this huge step and said, "Well, we're going to hire somebody part-time to go around the country and talk about this." And here I am. So Lutherans in Africa need to be taught. And when they come to the seminary, they are hungry for the Word. It's not like teaching here. They are hungry for the Word. They are really hungry for the Word. Well, we don't want to just talk about Lutherans in Africa. We need to talk about ourselves and hear God's words of law and gospel for ourselves. And so let's go back to that story where Jesus says, and this really was the beginning of Lutherans in Africa. He says to Peter, "I'm going to make you fishers of men." And from that day on, the church has been training pastors to preach the word. And there is that poignant moment in the text that relates to every one of us. As I mentioned before, Peter sees this miraculous catch of fishes. He all of a sudden understands, "I'm in front of God." And that's when he turns to Jesus and he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." He calls him Lord because he knows he's in the presence of God. "Depart from me, I am a sinful man." Have you noticed in the Bible? Most times when Jesus performs a miracle, people get afraid. They get afraid for the very reason Peter did. Because all of a sudden, it's like their whole life is made bare. We are all really good at putting up little protective barriers around ourselves. "Hey, I'm better at it than you. I don't want people to know what's in my heart. I want people to see me as a fine Christian man." And we're very good at that. But that doesn't work when all of a sudden you are confronted with the glory of God. You know, we Christians have this ridiculous desire. We all have this thought in our hearts and minds which says, if only God would do a miracle for me. If only God would come down and stand in front of me and talk to me, I'd never doubt him again, right? Right? Well, be careful what you ask for. Because every time Jesus shows his glory, people hit the deck. The Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John up on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus reveals his glory, boom, they hit the deck. They cover their eyes and their faces because they cannot stand it. Jesus didn't even glow when he did the miracle of the fishes, and yet Peter knew that he was in the presence of God. I am a poor, miserable sinner, says Peter. What kind of pastor are you teaching the children that they're poor, miserable sinners? Huh? You're mean. That is so mean and cruel. Oh, but you have Peter on your side. And you got Jesus on your side. We are poor, miserable sinners. That's what we are. And someday, Jesus is going to come back in all of his glory. And Paul tells the Philippian church that when that day comes, everyone will be on their knees, believers and unbelievers. And we, even as believers, will be intimidated by that glorious return of Christ. And yet, in a moment, we will suddenly realize what Jesus said to Peter. There was this incredible turnaround. Jesus turns the entire situation around. Here's Peter, flat on his face, saying, "Go away from me. Go, I'm a sinner. I cannot be within your presence. I'm condemned by you and your holiness." And what does Jesus say? The media and the world would have you believe that Jesus and all of the Bible-believing Christians are some kind of mean ogres. And that's not what we find. Jesus says to Peter, "Stand up. Don't be afraid." Every time there is that fear, the disciples were a little bit after this text would be in a boat in a storm going across the Sea of Galilee. And all of a sudden, Jesus was sleeping in one end of the boat, and he wakes up and he says to the wind, "Be still." And they all went to the other side of the boat away from him because they were scared to death. And Jesus says, "Fear not. Fear not." Over and over again, he says, "Fear not." And not only does he say, "Fear not," to Peter, but he says, "I'm going to make you a fisher of men." Jesus turns the entire situation around. And he has turned the entire situation around for you. The next thing you know, Jesus is making Peter his chief apostle. The next thing you know, we confess, "I am a poor, miserable sinner." And Jesus, through the mouth and the lips of the pastor, speaks forgiveness to us. And we're forgiven. We're somebody in Christ because all of our sins have been taken away. Now, Jesus said to Peter, "You go and preach now." He doesn't say that to you. He doesn't say that to everybody. Few are called. Many are called. Few are chosen. What he says to you, though, is, "I have all kinds of other things for you to do. I have all kinds of vocations for you: parent, child, worker, teacher, etc." All kinds of vocations that Jesus asks you to do. And today, I'm asking you to take up the vocation of student of African missions and what's going on in Africa, because it's not what you think. And I'll talk more about that during the Bible class hour. We need your prayers. We need your gifts. We need your presence. We have had all kinds of people come over to Africa and help us build the seminary. And then we also make sure they get to go on safari as well. We need your prayers, your gifts, your presence. We hope you will put us in your budget. consider that in the months to come. We also need your pastors, if they are willing, to come and to teach. We are in the process of adding a full-time African professor to our faculty, but we also have pastors from America come. We also have pastors from Australia, pastors from Finland come, and from around the world to come and teach for us. Well, I'm so glad that I was able to be a part of your capital campaign to pay down the debt, but I'm even more glad to be here today to talk about paying it forward for this important mission work in Africa, and I hope you will join us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.